Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and it is October the 8th, 2015, and today we were going to talk more about speaking, and that can include all kinds of things, speaking to get clients, as well as just speaking. You can do actually get paid just to speak, and that can include workshops or doing webinars. Could include live speaking or also, you know, teleconferences like we're doing right now, or webinars, lots of different things that you could use speaking for. And so the purpose for these calls is to, mainly purposes to answer your questions. Who just joined us?
This is Kat.
Oh, hi, Kat. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry, I'm a little late today.
No problem, yeah. Okay, good. And so we're just talking, just introducing the call here. So looking at last time we talked about speaking a bit and just wanted to go into that more this time and talk about how you can make a great income through speaking, and it's a really good path to getting good coaching clients. And you can always ask me your questions, during our call here or also by email. And I think, you know, believing in yourself as a valuable, you know, educator and speaker, I think, is really important. A lot of people, you know, I guess public speaking is considered the number one fear most people have, even, you know, when they list all their fears. Public speaking is listed even higher than death. Fear of death is pretty amazing. And so it's something to work on, and it's just a matter of, just like sports, it's a matter of the more prepared you are, the more confident you are, then your fear. There's always a little bit of nervousness there, but the fear and nervousness subsides. So it is something that everyone can do. And then I just want to talk about, you know, how to get the best speaking and workshop arrangements and logistics of setting up your talk, that kind of thing, and so that speaking can really help position you in your as an expert in your field. Also we talk about the aspects of writing a great speech that gets your clients, and what to include in a talk, how to practice your talk from the in various ways, and, you know, just at home as well as in front of an audience, and how to set up your audio and video, how to video your speaking performance, and then, you know, it's really important, too, to how to write an introduction. It's good to write.
Stephanie Caprow.
Who's that? Sorry?
Hi, this is Stephanie Caprow. Hi, Dr. Joanne. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Yeah, Stephanie's new here. That's great. Yeah. So we're just talking about the our topic today of speaking, and
yeah.
So we're talking. We've got about 5 or 6 or 7 people on the call. So we'll also be talking about the, you know, kind of a 3-step formula, how to get a great story, and how to and also how if there's other people on a program, you may be speaking with 2 or 3 other people if there's some kind of conference. You know, how to work yourself into that, and how to time your material, and then what to do as your last item in your talk. And then your back of the room sales or coaching table or resource table are really important,
mm-hmm.
How to follow up afterward. So, let's see, Stephanie and, Kat, you were here last time, right? I'm not sure if you... introduced yourself, but what, Stephanie, why don't you just introduce yourself real quickly and say where you're from and why you're interested in this program. Stephanie?
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie Sloan Caprow. I'm currently a New York State licensed psychologist and do a smattering of consultation for schools and then also private practice. I've been a lover of sports and performance and goal setting for many years. Do a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy in my work. Is a previous competitive tennis player and now the mom of a competitive hockey player. Have become interested in performance techniques for youth and teams and people transitioning into college sports, and have been spending a lot more time with my son and other parents and athletes, and have just kind of noticed a void in our area. I don't know if I mentioned I live in upstate New York, and I'm just really excited to expand my practice to include people who are working towards optimal goals. I feel like I have spent a lot of work in getting people to a point of good functioning in their life, and I think it will be really refreshing and exciting to be able to work with motivated clients to get to optimal goals in their life. So I'm excited to add that aspect to my repertoire.
Great. Thank you, and welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. Sorry, everybody. I had a meeting I was trying to get out of, so I apologize. I didn't call right at noon.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah. Did anyone else just join us, too? I think that we got everybody so far. But if I want to make sure I include everyone. Yeah, and then Kat, are you, well, if you're relatively new, do you want to just introduce yourself as well?
Sure, I'll be glad to. I'm Kat Altain, and for the last, 7 years, I've been a life coach, specializing primarily in women, life issues, and small business. I was a small business strategist. For many years, I was in another industry in middle to upper management for some Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies. So I have a lot of business background. I also was a competitive volleyball and tennis player in high school and college. And I love sports of all kinds, so mm-hmm. I just love working with the athletes. And since I was an athlete myself and have kept up in it, I really appreciate the mindset and want to work with it. And as Dr. Joanne and I talked about, I'm addressing the three E's, the emerging, existing, and exiting athletes, primarily emerging and existing from high school to college. As she was talking about earlier, too, that, you know, that I think that's a void that needs to be filled in such a huge way, that these kids understand how to get themselves in peak physical condition, but they don't understand the mind conditioning and the concentration, the mindfulness that needs to go along with it. So I'm just very excited and enjoying the calls immensely, learning a lot.
Oh, good. Well, thank you, Kat.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. And we've got Rob on the call and Tom and Michelle as well. And let's see, I don't want to take up too much time, but do you want to each introduce yourself as well, since we've got new people? Rob, do you want to just introduce yourself? He might have muted himself, I'm not sure. Or Tom or Michelle, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Michelle. I'm calling in from Vancouver, Canada. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Okay.
Is that brief enough, Dr. Joanne?
Oh, yeah, that's good, yeah. And Tom, you're calling in from Toronto, is that right?
Yes, hi. Hi, everyone. Tom Devansky from Toronto, life coach, transitioning to sports coaching with your help, Dr. Joanne.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And Rob is in the Sacramento area. I think he might have been
Dr. Joanne, can you hear me now?
Rob, are you in the call? Oh,
yeah, I had muted myself, so I unmuted so I could introduce myself.
Okay, great. And
I'm Rob Wertman. I'm in Sacramento, California. I was a collegiate volleyball player and a collegiate coach for 16 years, won a couple national championships, was named an All-American at a tournament, and got out of coaching for a few years. Now I'm getting back into it, and I've always been fascinated by the mind-body concept, and I worked with several doctors of psychology over the years. As far as athletics, I worked with one back in 1988 and proceeded to coach the national championship team at Cal State Bakersfield the following season, after the year before they were last in their conference. So the power of visualization works wonders.
Right. Yeah, that's exciting, Rob. Yeah, that's fantastic. It's always good to any kind of successes you've had with teams or individuals to list that on your resume and on your website and social media anywhere that you can. So I know I had a question come in from Michelle to your client, and I'll get into the material here with speaking, and then do your question after that, if that's okay, and remind me about your question again, at the end, so I can get that in. That'll be great.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, so I just wanted to talk about how, when we're coaches and, working with clients, sometimes it can feel sort of, it's very rewarding and exciting. Sometimes it can feel a little bit isolating in that you're, if you're working on the phone with someone, you don't actually see that person. Or if you're in office, it's just that 1 hour. And I think one great way to get more clients and also to fill up your practice and also just to stay in touch with your audience and what's happening in the field is speaking. It's very rewarding, whether you're doing it to get paid as a speaker or doing it for free and then getting clients from that. It's something that is a fantastic way to get yourself out there in the field and position yourself well. Because oftentimes we think we know what our clients want or what the main problems are, but things change over time, and also you might want to expand the kinds of people that you work with, or you might want to you may have an opportunity at a school or association or organization to be able to give a presentation. And I think it's always good if you're asked, especially to give one, to go ahead and follow up on that, because it's a great way to when people ask you questions. Well, you could do the PPQ first, which is a pre-programmed questionnaire that I sent you in the email last night, and before you do your talk, and that can, send that out to the meeting planners, and then they can send. I also have a second PPQ or second pre-program questionnaire just for the participants, so I'll send that out this time in an email, and also put it on the website so that you can. You send one to the meeting planners. That's the person that's setting up your meeting. It could be if it's an athletic department of a college, it could be a coach there, or the athletic director, or if you're speaking at say a sports expo, it could be the whoever's in charge of the clinic for that organization. Or if it's, by meeting planner, I mean anyone that's setting up the meeting for you. If it's in a sports medicine clinic, it could be a person that's administrator that's in charge of that clinic. It could be anyone that's in charge setting up this pre-programmed questionnaire to them to find out what their audience is all about and when you'd be speaking and negotiate the terms of that. And just to get to know people. The more that you can get to know the people in the group, the better. And then there's the second pre-program questionnaire that I send out that I'll send to all of you that you can send to the participants. You send it to the meeting planner and then ask them to send it to the people who would be participating. And in there you could ask questions like, what are your main challenges in your in your sport, what are the main successes that you've had? What are some certain questions you've always wanted to ask to a person like me? Those kinds of things, asking what specific things have you been dealing with this year? What are the most prevalent problems you have that are coming right up right now? Like if you've got a game coming up or a race. What can I help you with right now? Those kinds of things, really getting to the heart of what they want and bringing those in so that they feel like you're You know, and then asking for whatever topics they're concerned about, so that you know, leave an open-ended question as well, so they can really give you what it is that they're wanting. Sometimes it could be a, you know, internal issues that they want to work on. You know, just getting along as a team, or certain things that you might not know about within the culture of their of that sport. So that's the kind of thing this pre-programmed questionnaire can give you, those helpful topics to talk about. And then you're also learning about what it is that they are dealing with. So you could, that gives you another topic to maybe put on your, write about on your website, you know, without using their names, of course, and to explore different things. And you can think of your marketing like a wheel. If you think of a bicycle wheel and think of the internal part, the hub of the wheel is like your message, you know, what it is that you want to get out to people. And then think of the outside of the wheel as the as your market, the people, all the people that you want to get to. And then the spokes of the wheel, all the way around, are the media, the way that you get to those people, like through social media, through email, through your different marketing means, you know, maybe, and through speaking, like we're doing now, or through talking. And so most people think, you know, think of a message and think of, okay, what do I want to say to people? And then you hope that your market out there, that's the right message for your marketer, that's what they're wanting to hear about. But it's and then you get out to your market and you can find out, well, maybe people want this or they don't. Maybe this is relevant, or maybe it was relevant 10 years ago, but it's not now. And so, or maybe I need to tweak it a little bit. So that's why it's important to go the other way. Instead of thinking message first and then getting to your market, and finding out if it's good, it's best to start with your market, and then and find out what the market wants in terms of performance coaching and mental training and sports psychology, and asking them through things like this pre-programmed questionnaire, and when you actually give your talk and you're speaking, and then ask for questions in the middle of your talk, and then at the end. You know, you can really note what those questions are, and those questions that are coming from people, that's your clients. You know, the people that I found, the people that ask questions during my talks, those are the ones that become my clients. They're the most interested, and when you engage with them one-on-one, then you're really, they connect with you, and they realize that you know what you're talking about, and they want to work with you. So, so it's that those finding out from your market, speaking allows you to get out there and find out what your market wants. And then, so I would say, like, even, yeah, well, after you give a talk and people have asked you questions, right afterward is a really good time to write down those questions. What did people ask about? What did they want to know about? And if you have, you know, if you know your audience, knows specifically who asked you those questions, you can follow up with those people afterward, or ask them to come back to your table afterward, your resource table. It's always good to have, it's really important to have that. Don't call it a product table, but call it a resource table, mm-hmm. in the back of the room afterward, and make sure that the. I just want to throw this in. And now it's oftentimes people, the meeting planner says, oh, if you're going to have a table, let's put it outside the room. But that's it's really critical. That's a major mistake. If they will allow you to, it's much better to have the table to go to inside the room at the back afterward, because as soon as people leave the room, they're off somewhere else, and their mind is somewhere else, and they're much more likely to leave. But if your table is in the room there, then they'll much more likely feel comfortable. Their minds are still on you and on your topic, and they'll want to engage with you. And if you have information about your coaching there, they'll want to, you know, talk with you about that and get your brochures or top 10 tips flyer that you put out. So we'll have those in the back of the room there. So it's good to so find out. You know, this is, speaking is a really good way to find out what your market wants. And what I did was, like, with that pre-programmed questionnaire, what I've always done is, you know, have the meeting planner ask those questions to the, you know, send it out to the participants, and then they'll have them email you back directly so you can get their, first of all, you get their email, their information, and you get their engaging with you and asking you, telling you what they want, what the biggest problems are. And then you can actually use that in your talk, you know, say, without giving names, you can say, you know, here's an example of someone that had an issue with this, or you want to describe, you know, describe it generally so you're not revealing the name or identity of a person, that a specific person, unless they want you to. And just say you might be dealing with this kind of problem or this other kind of problem or a third problem. And actually, you know, use the information you get back from the pre-programmed questionnaire to customize your talk for the group. So it's not just, I mean, you have one general talk that you can, the great news about speaking is you don't have to come up with 10 different talks. You can have one basic talk, one basic presentation you design, and then you just customize it each time for each audience a little bit, depending on what information you receive from the pre-programmed questionnaire, or what the group is. If you're talking to soccer players, of course you want to mention soccer, and if you're a hockey player, you mention hockey. So the logistics. Setting that up, and also, so I wanted to talk a little bit about that logistics of kind of these are logistics of setting up your talk for sort of maximum exposure for you. You know, beforehand, if they're they'll probably be advertising the talk, and make sure that if you can, have them put your website, a live link to your website or your social. If you don't have a website yet, then, you know, your LinkedIn page or Facebook business page, so that they can look you up ahead of time. And oftentimes people will even want to engage with you ahead of time before they before you give your talk. Have them come in and ask you questions beforehand. Another thing, and you want to just go over all the logistics with the meeting planner beforehand. If you have a computer and that kind of thing that you'll be bringing in, let them know that. Or sometimes there's a computer there already that in case you want to show slides, or if you have a video, it's great. I found that some people get too bogged down with too many slides and. Or too much, PowerPoint presentation, and sometimes everyone's looking at the slide and is taking away from what you are saying. But it's better just to kind of keep it simple and just have a few key points on different slides. And then if you have images of that, you know, for instance, you can look up, just do a search on, if you're, you know, say talking about meditation or about visualization, do a search on top athletes that are using visualization, and you'll come up with, you know, people like Kobe Bryant and, well-known names, LeBron James and Carly Lloyd that just won, got those four amazing goals in the Women's World Cup soccer. You know, they all talk about using meditation and visualization and sports psychology to help, you know, that they take time to do an intense meditation or visualization before the game to make sure that their head's in the right space. So it's good to, you know, you could talk about that to lend credibility to our field and what people want. That's good to have those images of athletes. And if you're talking about a specific sport, then, you know, get images of that specific sport there. It's also good to have humor in your talk. You know, like for instance, you know, when I was talking about meditation at a recent talk, I looked up. I thought, oh, it'd be cool to, you know, look up images of funny animals meditating. And I looked that up, and I got a really cute picture of a raccoon. I think it was a raccoon that was meditating, you know, or a dog meditating. They're hilarious pictures. And just a funny little image of that picture really, you know, makes people laugh, and then it, you know, kind of breaks the ice, and it changes the scene a little bit so that you can, helps you to relax, too, as a speaker. So it's good to put that kind of thing in. And then I was going to mention in terms of arrangements for your talk, it's always good to ask first. I mean, they may say to you, oh, we don't pay speakers. And if that's clear, then that that's okay. You can just go with that and find out. Ask them oftentimes, I think I might have mentioned this last time, but ask, you know, think to yourself, what could they offer that's easy for them to offer you that's of value to you? So, for instance, if you're talking for an airline, you know, it's easy for them to give free airline tickets. That would be, you know, something of value to you. If it's a newspaper you know, well-known blog or something, then what they can offer is you as exposure. If they have, you know, a million viewers, then they could easily, you know, put something about you in there that could give you lots of exposure for free, where other people have to pay for advertising. So always think in terms of what could they offer you that's, you know, of value to you. Maybe you could write an article for their website once a month in exchange for, you know, as sort of their payment to you, if they've got a large audience. And it could be a really short article, too, a five-part article once a month or once every week, so that you get this you know, continuing exposure, because oftentimes people, you know, a lot of research shows that people need a sort of five touches or seven touches before they will buy from you or engage with you. But I found it's often much less than that. If you really are good and engaging, and if you, especially if you're on video, that kind of thing, or they hear your voice, then they know and like and trust you much more quickly. So, but it's good to first ask, do you have a budget? What's your budget for speakers? Because oftentimes they will pay you for speaking. I've gotten paid at you know, Marathon Expos $5,000 for a talk, and two things: gotten paid the $5,000 plus. And if you're traveling somewhere, always ask for your travel expenses are in addition to any payment. So make that really clear in the contract. I think last time I sent you that speaking agreement. So in the speaking agreement, you know, it said there, you know, travel is arranged. Travel expenses are extra, and ask to get those reimbursed or paid for in addition, so it doesn't come out of your speaking fee, kind of thing. Now you can add, but you know, of course, there's various arrangements. Some people can afford that, and some people can't. Or often, you know, I've given talks at, say, running camps. I've actually come up to Michelle, your area. You're in Vancouver. I've spoken at in British Columbia there, at the ski resort there at Whistler, and they said they would pay for my accommodations there, but not the travel. I just need to get myself there. So I had you know, airline miles available, so I could get up there on the airline miles, and then they paid for the accommodations there, which can often be, normally that's really expensive. So, you know, for running camps, that sort of thing, or sports camps in the summertime, this is a good time now as we're out of the summer to, you know, look toward next year, next summer, and it's a great way to get yourself a free paid vacation at a really nice place somewhere, and you know, at a sports camp, and then you normally, you know, sometimes those are really expensive. The participants are paying $1,000 or $2,000, you know, for a week or more, sometimes $5,000 for a camp for a whole week, whereas you're getting to go for free and can maybe give a couple of talks. So that's another really good place to think about speaking, is at summer training camps for, you know, soccer, running, baseball, football. Just about every sport has, you know, summer training camps. So those are great places to speak, and then you get to know the people there. Sometimes they're for adults, sometimes they're for kids, high school kids or college, or sometimes a combination of the two. So you can give your talk for the different groups there. And then I just wanted to talk a little bit about how to write a speech to get you clients, to be able to write, and it can be something that's fairly simple of, you know, you want to be able to have a good opening and a good closing, and then three major points in the middle. And so it doesn't have to be really elaborate. It can be, and you don't have to, sometimes it can be fairly simple if you think of it that way, that you've got your three points of wisdom, say three, you know, like, for example, with your Performing Edge book, I talk about the three P's of your Performing Edge, positive images and power words and present focus. But that's just one of many things. Like, Kat, you've got your three E's. You know, if you can think of three C's or three, you know, three things that begin with the same letter, that's really good. Or create an acronym that spells something, and say three points that spell a certain point. That would be great. Something that you know, is really fairly simple. That way, it makes it really easy for you to write and easy for people to understand. And then just start with an opening story. If you can, it could be a story, it could be a quote, it could be an interesting fact, something to, you know, get people's attention right at the beginning. And then at the end, you want to also give a story. I call it a heart story, or something that's, you know, gets people's emotions. That's great. And have them, you know, really engage with your audience that way. And it's good to always memorize your opening and your closing, because people remember the first 30 seconds and the last 30 seconds of your talk more than anything. And basically remember that people only remember maybe 15% of the words, and 85% of it is just your presence there, your presence with the audience, and, you know, how you come across, and just your sincerity, your authority, your personality, you know, your passion. Every one of you that I've talked to on the phone, I know, has passion for this field, and how important the mental part of training is. And so you can that people pick up on that, and that's what they're really coming to you for, is that passion for your field, and really being able to change, and knowing that this mental part of training is something that can change their lives, change their performance, their confidence, how they feel about themselves. So I'd say, yeah, it's good to give your talk, and then break it up with question and answer if you want throughout. You know, say start with one point of wisdom, and then do a, one way to think of it is do you tell your point, one particular point, then tell a story about that, and then reiterate the point afterward, and then give, say, a couple of two or three tips about how to do that particular skill. And then if you have a video or anything to show with that, you can do that. And then an exercise that people could do, a quick little exercise, maybe just 30 seconds or a minute or two, and then go on to your next point. Same thing, do the point, and then your story about that, an example, and then reiterate the point again, why that's important, and then three points three tips on how to execute that particular skill, or it could be three or five tips or 10 tips. And then you know, an exercise. You could do a video or something, and then an exercise of how to practice that. So that's do that for all the three tips. And then another thing you can do is actually coaching, you know, bringing someone up, a volunteer that you arrange ahead of time and have them come up to the front of the room and you know, just for 5 or say 3 minutes, have them give a quick story of something that they want to go through. And this is where I think Michelle, you had a question about that. Here's something that you could do. Let's say if you had a client or someone in the audience that had a particular problem, you could demonstrate that how you could help them, and that way everyone's saying, "Oh, this person can coach." You know, if they can coach that person, they could coach me the same way. For example, Michelle had a question that she emailed me. Are you there, Michelle?
Hi, Dr. Joanne.
Oh, yeah. So maybe you want to ask your questions that you had, and we could say, let's say if you're giving a talk to someone, you could actually demonstrate these in the talk.
Okay, yeah. I have two questions. The first is with the peak performance visualization. I don't know if I'm as effective as I want to be when I'm explaining to the athlete how to use it.
Okay.
To get the maximum benefit out of that visualization. So I've created it for them. I've, you know, given them the MP3. They've got it in their hands. I have something I email out with it with directions. And some people, I feel like they're getting it. And then other people, I just feel like I'm not somehow reaching them. So with them, I'd like to follow up and just have a 10-minute conversation on the phone and just help walk them through the process. And I think that might be beneficial. But if there's anything you can lend to me for that, that would be fantastic, information-wise.
Yeah, that would be great. And so this is where also in your talk, just for you, Michelle, and then also you could use this in a talk to tell people that you give, you know, you do like a peak visualizations and audios, make them, you know, different exercises that are customized for their needs, and that you then the best, and then explain the best way to use that to get good results. I'd say first tell the person to, you made an MP3 or an audio, so you email it to them, of course, and then tell them to, first they can play it right away if you can have them play it and as soon as they receive it, and so they get the experience as soon as possible. That's a good thing. And then they can explain to download it to their iPod or iPhone or whatever device they have. That they listen to. Most people have an iPhone or smartphone these days that can take audios. And anyone under 30 years old just intuitively knows how to do this stuff. It's pretty amazing. And then if it's someone that's older, that's not as familiar with technology, just usually they've got a son or a daughter or a friend who's younger, I just ask them because it's just amazing all the younger people teach us exactly how to do this stuff because they grew up with it. Or if they don't know, they can just Google it, you know, how to download an MP3 onto your iPhone or onto your smartphone. So they can do that. And then some people prefer to, if they're older, sometimes people are more CD-oriented, so they could actually put the audio that you created for them onto a physical CD, and then they could play that. And then some of the best ways to get something out of it, to use this, or to, you know, listen to it right before you go to sleep at night. And, every night, or you can, you know, start to make them a variety of audios for different things, say one for confidence, one for negative thoughts, one for getting rid of negative thoughts, one for handling pressure, all these different things that coming up, one for the, say, the specific event that they're about to do. And then, you know, so they'll have a variety so they can listen, kind of like a menu, put them on a playlist, you know, they put their music on a playlist. They can put your audios on a playlist and have them call it Michelle or call it Tom or Rob or Kat or Stephanie, all of you, you know, have them call it those things, or sports psychology, you know, put it in a folder, a playlist, so that then they can choose one audio to listen to each night and, you know, have it right by their bed, you know, maybe put something right on the bed to remind them, you know, their earphones or their iPhone or smartphone right there on the bed, so they're so it's set up, you know, just like they brush their teeth right before they go to bed. That could be another time if they have trouble doing it at sleep, you know, they could actually be listening to it while they're brushing their teeth. It's best if they're just quiet, in a quiet place. So if they're normally, you know, if they're reading or something before they go to sleep, they could be easily listening to your audio before they go to sleep at night. And then another thing is, another really great time is listening to it when you first wake up in the morning, so that your mind is fresh. So the last thing you, and tell them with the, right before sleep, tell them the best time to, which thinking about right before you go to sleep at night tends to be what you'll dream about. So it's best if you can, you know, if you're thinking, you know, we're often thinking about something that's really, you know, worrying about things, or if something's not going well with, say, the sports team or the sports performance, they may be worrying about that. So this MP3 that you make for them, the audio, if they're listening to that right before they go to sleep, it can be very comforting and very soothing and encouraging, because you're in their ear. Basically, you can tell them that the reason to listen to this and the reason to use this is you're, you know, encouraging them and giving them this really positive feedback and positive suggestions right before they go to sleep. And then it's just, they're going to sleep with this, you know, just feeling really good inside about themselves, and that feeling a sense of reassurance. And that does wonderful things for the subconscious mind, and so they can get to sleep faster and they can stay asleep. And then the last thing you're thinking about is what you tend to dream about or what your mind is working on all night. So wouldn't it be great if, instead of worrying about something, then subconscious mind is worrying about that all night? Doesn't it, you know, tell them, doesn't it make sense to listen to this really great audio and then have this go to sleep feeling really comforted and have a really good vision in your mind as you go to sleep, so that you give your mind something good to work on as you're going to sleep. And then when you that can be, you know, kind of give them that convincing argument that it's really good to do this each night. Same thing when they wake up in the morning. The first thing that you wake up to, if it's, you know, you, let's say you look and check your email. A lot of people do that as the first thing in the morning, and then you're letting other people determine how you feel, and sometimes there might be a negative email or something from somebody. So instead of doing that, you know, if they can listen to your audio, one of them, you could make them one specifically for the morning to say, you know, you're waking up and you're feeling good and you're anticipating, you know, the good things that are going to happen today, and, you know, make a specific audio just for the morning, then they can wake up with this really good positive input beforehand. So that sets the tone for the day. So that's another a good reason to tell them to use this in the morning. And then, another really good time is playing your audio, the peak performance visualization, you know, right before, 5 minutes before beginning your training. So most people, you can tell them that when they're training or they're starting their practice, you know, baseball or, you know, in your case, Michelle, mountain bike riding or skiing or whatever it is, there's a sport, you're working with so many different sports, it's great, that people, you know, usually spend half the workout thinking, you know, thinking about what happened before, you know, the argument they had with someone before the workout or what they're going to do afterward, and they're not really mentally into it, so half the workout could be wasted. Whereas if they listen to your audio right beforehand, 5 minutes beforehand, then they're in the zone, get in the zone right before you work out, and then then the whole workout is valuable, and they're concentrating for the whole workout, not just half of it. Same thing before a competition. That's even just as important as playing your audio just right before a competition. And then tell them that you can make them specific ones for specific competitions. And so it's, you know, if it's something really important coming up, you know, put in, you know, you're in Vancouver at the this event, and you know, make it really specific to that time. Or, you know, and then I'd encourage you to make other audios that are more general that they can use any time. So then they can get in the zone right beforehand. And then you can even, and some people, you know, it's depending on what your sport is. If you're running, you know, people use iPods or iPhones or smartphone, some listening device while they're working out. So if it's running, you know, people do that, then they could be listening to your audio as they're working out as well. So those are all the different ways that they could use it. And then I'd say you can, so this is something you could actually, what I'm telling you, Michelle, is good for you and your clients and also for everyone here. If you're giving a talk, you can explain how all the different ways you could be using an audio and that you do this for them, and that's going to want to make you know, new clients come to you to get this custom audio that you can make for them when you tell them all the different ways you can use it and how valuable it can be. And then one of the things you can do is, I think this is really valuable, is right after you listen to the audio, the MP3 or Peak Performance Visualization or any visualization you've made for them, is to have a little sheet where they where they write down their reactions, their reflections on that. And, you know, in our PECI, the private members area, there is the, I think it's the module 2 or 3 or so, there's that we've got the pre-visualization questionnaire assessment, and then there's a post-visualization assessment. So if you give them that post-visualization assessment, then they, afterward, then tell them to, you know, fill that out each time they, or fill out, maybe they don't have to fill out all the questions, but just whatever is important to them. Afterward, their responses, their reflections, you know, what new insights did you have to this? So they're not just doing the audio, but they're thinking, oh, wow, I came up with a new idea, or maybe all of a sudden I visualized a new way that I could execute this skill. Or you know, feel better, more confident about how I could do this. Have them rate their experience. Actively journal about the visualization they just had, so they can reflect on it and think, how can I? And tell them that they need to fill that out and then bring it back to you for the next session. So it's giving them a homework assignment and not just doing the audio. Then if they're just doing the audio, they might say, oh, yeah, I did it or I didn't do it. But if they actually have to write something down, reflecting on their experience and what they learned, or maybe there's a, you know, if there was a mistake in it, you know, got one of, sometimes I do that, they'll, you know, when I was looking at a pole vaulter, she said, no, it's my right hand, not my left hand that, you know, goes up in the air. I got one of the, what, something incorrect, and then we go back, and, you know, that's good feedback too, and then you go back and make a different audio or correct that so that it's just right for exactly what they need. Have them write down what their responses are, the reflections, the questions, their actions. Okay, what do they want to do differently based on this audio? And oftentimes I think, you know, they get into a really deep experience and can really reflect on things and realize, wow, you know, I can, I had all this fear or this, questioning myself, but I realize I can really do this. Now I can see it in my mind. I can do this. And hey, have them write those kinds of things down so they can share those with you. Or maybe new fears come up, or new anxieties, or they're worried about another competitor or something. They can write those things down, things that they're, you know, the things they want to work on. They might come up with new insights about those. But, oh, gosh, I need to, here's my weak point. I need to work on this. And so have them write those down so they can come back, and then that can be the material for your next session. You know, it feeds on the work. So it's not something just separate they're doing on their own, but it's something that is integrated with your sessions, and it becomes really good material for your next session working with them. So those are some thoughts I had. Is that helpful, Michelle?
Yes, thanks, Dr. Joanne. In terms of them listening to it when they're in bed the night before or before their practice.
Yeah. Oh, your voice, I got the first part, but your voice was kind of fading out there. Can you, in terms of them listening but the night before, then what?
Can you hear me now, Dr. Joanne?
Just barely.
I think it might be my internet. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you try again and keep going?
Sure.
Oh, there, now it's better.
Okay. It's my internet is a bit dodgy right now. I don't know why.
Okay.
So basically when they're listening to it before they're training or in bed, ideally if you get into a block where they can just fully and sort of integrate it as much as possible.
Yeah. Are you just making a statement or asking a question? The last part faded out.
Yeah, I'm just asking a question. It's a question.
So what's your question again? Should they get into a relaxed position?
A relaxed state? A relaxed mental state?
Yeah, I think the more if they can get into a relaxed mental state, then the left brain, which is that logical, analytical, critical side of our brain, that tends to sometimes that gets in the way too much with too much overthinking, that part of the brain can relax, and then the right part of the brain can take over, which is the more creative part, the part that sees the big picture. And so they can tend to, so if you can explain that to your clients too, that right part of the brain is that part that's wired up more to see the big picture and to take in new information, and then they're more likely to be able to see new things, new insights, and that intuition takes over, and they can oftentimes come up with even more creative ideas and new insights, and their real inner wisdom can kind of take over. And that critical part that says you can't do this, you're not good enough, you know, you've had too many mistakes, you know, that part, that voice tends to quiet down if they're more relaxed. Does that make sense?
So, yes, it does, and you just answered my question. So, I'm sorry, I don't want to take up too much time, but to get them into the right side of their brain. Got any suggestions?
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that. The question you sent me was that one client you had that is extremely logical, you said, so he's so in the left brain that he's thinking in his thinking. You were saying, I hope that you might have a technique that can help him access his less critical, less objective side. Yeah, so that's a really great question, and a lot of people are, you know, overly, you know, thinking the left brain, or overly using their left brain to overthink things. So I'd say the more they can, if they can do something to help the help them relax first, sometimes it's you know, just focusing on a particular thing, you know, they're breathing, say breathe in, actually say to themselves, I'm breathing in, and then as they breathe out, say, I'm breathing out, and then do that and say say a power word statement, like I'm breathing in strength, I'm breathing out stress, and then actually say that, I'm breathing in strength, and I'm breathing out stress. And just relaxing, doing both of those, then it can, you know, oftentimes if the brain is, the people that are really left brain and overthinking things tend to think their brain is working so fast that they can't really allow the creative side to, the right brain to take over. So if you can, for them, just kind of saying relax might not be enough, but they need to first give the brain something else to think about, to focus on, like breathing. And if they're just thinking breathing in, breathing in strength, breathing out stress, and just saying that about 10 times, doing about 10 breaths like that, then that can help them to sort of help the brain, the left brain, sort of the whole brain is focused on this one task of just breathing, and just by doing that, it helps the brain to kind of slow down, and then the right brain can come in, and then you could have them just focus on a particular task. Let's say if they're what sport is this athlete in, Michelle? That you were referring
squash.
To? Squash.
Yeah.
Okay, squash. So, you could have them focus on just the action of a ball coming at the racket, and then hitting, the connecting the racket with the ball, the paddle with the ball, and feeling good about that. And just practicing one of his best shots over and over again. Have him think about the time that he was feeling best at his squash, and visualize it, see it. You know, ask about oftentimes to help a person get into the right brain. Have him think about all the five senses, and so you're thinking, okay, well. And this is a good example, too, I was going to say, Michelle, and all of you, if you're given a talk, you know, you could have someone come up to the front of the room and they might say that, oh, I'm, you know, too left-brained, how can I do this? And then you could come up with a technique to help them. Imagine that your footwork is really good, you're connecting with the ball really well, and imagine that particular game, if you can get into that specific, practice or game where he felt really good, and just stay with that, and stay with all the correct movements that he was making, and feeling good about that, and just seeing that over and over again, that can help, I think, to just be more accepting of that, realize, hey, I can do this. And if those other thoughts come in, of the critical thoughts, just go back to the breathing and say, I'm breathing in strength, I'm breathing out stress, you know, letting go of thoughts. So that breathing out can be a way of letting go of the negative thoughts or the critical thoughts. So each time he has a critical thought, just say, okay, breathing it out, breathing out the critical thought. Or breathing out that thought, maybe not use the word critical as much as just the unwanted thought. And then just keep bringing his thought process back to the peak performance, the time that he was doing really well. Saying, I'm enjoying, and then that sense of enjoyment too. Ask him, what do you enjoy about squash? What do you like about it? What were you attracted to in the first place? You could do this about any sport. Say, what is it that you like about your sport? And what's fun about it? And then ask him to smile. You know, I know it sounds funny, actually smiling, but it's hard to be critical or be depressed if you're smiling. So just to smile and be think of something funny, you know, that gets you into your right brain as well. If you can laugh and think of something funny about, you know, look up online squash, funny squash moments, and you know, laugh about those, then it gets you out of that left critical brain. So anything, there's all kinds of different techniques like that, but just something to get giving the brain something else to do other than the critical stuff is a really good suggestion, I think.
Thank you, Dr. Joanne. That totally answered my question.
Okay, great, yeah. That sounds
good.
Oh, does someone else have a question? Yeah, I can, let's see, I wanted to also, so that's great. So that's an example of how you could do sort of answering Michelle's question about the peak performance visualization, how to use that, and then also, let's see, yeah, I can include that in our next email here, too, kind of suggestions of how to use the MP3, the visualization, and then also... just ideas about how to get out of the left brain and into the right brain. You could demonstrate that. I just wanted to ask also, did anyone new join us on the call that hasn't introduced themselves yet?
Alex is here now.
Oh, hi, Alex. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good. Yeah, I know you're really an expert in squash. I don't know if you have any suggestions for Michelle, too.
Because I just got in. I don't know what the question was.
No, it was just about she had a squash player that is having a difficult time with being too critical and being too much in the left brain and critical and wanting to get more in the right brain and just relax more mentally.
Yeah. And what has Michelle tried or what I don't know.
Oh, well, we just talked about it. Well, I kind of answered her question, but she was just saying that she wanted to see if there was a technique to help them get more on the right brain side kind of thing. That there was an athlete that's just real critical, you know, that was the question.
Yeah. But I guess I want to assess first, what is their state of mind even before the game starts?
Yeah.
Sometimes they go in expecting to lose. Sometimes they go in overconfident. And in either situation, they're not really well prepared to compete point by point. What I try to do is understand how they come in, how they're mentally prepared before even the game starts.
Right.
Because tons of scenarios or situation whereby they lose or they win, actually they primarily lose, just by the how they are not really well prepared because they think they're playing somebody who is better than them, or because they play somebody this player before and they lost before, so therefore already they're in their mind thinking I'm going to lose again, or the opposite, because they think that I already beat this person before, this player, and it's going to be a piece of cake, so I'm going to beat him again. So sometimes it's important to understand how they are assessing the match even before the game starts. So in my experience, it has been quite helpful.
Right, yeah, exactly. How you go into the game can really determine how you're feeling, how you do. Afterward, yeah, and I know I've got a client right now who's a runner, and her mother sits on the sidelines and says, I can just tell by the way, by her daughter's expression, high school daughter, her expression at the starting line, whether she's going to do well or not. She can tell if her face is relaxed and if she's smiling, then, you know, it's going to go really well, or if she looks really worried, then it's not going to go so well. So that's a good example of just kind of taking a look at yourself how you're mentally preparing, and then having that good outlook
mm-hmm.
right beforehand.
Yeah.
Go really well.
Yeah.
And so I wanted that's a good point, Alex, and wanted to make that point about your we're talking about speaking today and giving a good talk. That applies to us as speakers and coaches too. You know, beforehand, I had a really important talk I was giving a couple weeks ago, and I prepared really for the last couple months for it, and it was really important. And then when it came time for the talk, it was a long drive to get up to the event, and hard to find, and parking, and everything was logistics were kind of hard. I was really exhausted. It was just an hour and a half before the talk, and I was just feeling like, oh my gosh, can I do this? I'm so exhausted and so tired, and just wondering, kind of questioning myself, even though I'd prepared well, wondering, do I have the energy to do this? And just feeling this big weight on my shoulders. But then I just closed my eyes and did a visualization and saw myself doing it, really doing well, and people, smiling and laughing and enjoying themselves, and getting this sense of renewed energy. And I just visualized that for a while, just actually giving myself more energy and kind of recharging my batteries. And that visualization, for about 5 minutes or 7 minutes, made all the difference. All of a sudden, I got a renewed sense of strength, and I was okay. And I just reminding myself, "Hey, I'm prepared for this. I can do this." And then ended up going in there and doing a really great job. But there was that moment, and I think there's that moment in all of us when you sort of question yourself, or those negative thoughts come in, and so we need to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that we can use all these techniques that we're teaching our clients with sports psychology for athletes. We can also use that for ourselves as speakers.
Yeah.
When you're going on the stage or on a platform or to talk with a group, I mean, you're doing a performance just like the athletes are doing a performance, out on the field. And so it could be a peak performance for you as well, in terms of getting clients that day, or getting getting a great response from people, getting asked to speak again different places too. And that's, by the way, that's a really good technique to always have on your it's good to have a handout that you hand out, say maybe top 5 tips or top 7 tips or top 10 tips. So some piece of helpful information, and then with your bio, your website, your contact information at the bottom, so they always know how to contact you for other talks. And then to say in your talk, when I was giving a speech at blah, 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 or when I was giving a talk, a keynote speech here, give examples that you were, giving other talks, and, so that's a subtle way of letting people know that you are a professional speaker without being too salesy about it. You're just telling a story about it. When I was giving a talk here at this other company, you don't have to say the specific company or organization, but just, with this sports club, giving a talk, I had a person come up to me afterward. They became a client, and they said, here was their problem. So that's a kind of demonstrating for them that they're at your talk right now, and they could, if it's a meeting planner there, they could hire you for another talk, or if it's a client, potential client there, they can see how afterwards they could become your client too. So
mm-hmm.
sort of modeling that for them, rather than is a subconscious way of doing it. Telling stories are the most powerful way of doing that. And then you can always have a little sheet, a speaker, your one page or speaker sheet in the back of the room, and ask them if people were interested in having you give a talk, to give them their business card or information. And you can have them give your let them know that you're available for other talks, that kind of thing. So you always want to have that available to them. And sometimes you can do a two-part kind of thing. They may really like you so much that they want to have you back or hire you for a second talk as well.
Mm.
I wanted to give you a three-step formula also of how to tell a great story. Is just if you can think of it as then, now, and how. Those are the three steps. Then, now, and how. So think first you talk about how you were then, you know, beforehand, the struggle that you went through or the difficulty, what you were facing, the dilemma or something. There needs to be some kind of problem that you were facing that you're dealing with. And then, so that's the then. And then the second step is now. How did you get to where you are, the now of being able to get to, a transformation, that moment of clarity when you saw a better way or you used a technique or something happened and you got to a better point in your life. Or you can do this with a client you worked with, how difficult it was for them then in the past, and then now how they transformed into a great athlete or had a really good success. And then the how is the third thing. So then, now, and how. The third is how, and that is telling how that happened for that client or for you, and then how other people can, the techniques that other people can use, these same techniques to get to have their own transformation, to get through their struggles, to have their own moment of clarity. So that's a three-step formula, if you can think of as then, now, and how. If you can include those three in your story, if a story is only good if you it needs to have that point of struggle. It's not if you just say, I'm doing fantastically. that's not a story. This person's always been a great athlete. That doesn't get people excited, but it's the down point. If you can tell, dramatize the most difficult time in a person's life, then you can talk about how that transition they made, or if you're the coach, how you help them make that transition, and that is huge. You can then people can see that you can make that transition in their own lives too.
Do you see that order? Then, now, and how?
Yeah, or it could be either way. It could be then, how, and now.
Yeah, that's how I usually do it.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
But do you find any difference?
Either it just depends on what your situation is and how the story flows. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You want to talk about how they were then, and then how things were, the how of how they made a transition,
mm-hmm.
and then now what they're like is actually better. Yeah, or you could do two hows. how they transitioned into a better person, what they're like now, and then you could do a second how after that of how you as a person, how let's break this apart and say three techniques here of how you could do this in your own life. So that could be an even better way of doing it. Of talking about this other person and how they made a transition, and then talking about you or the audience and how breaking it apart more and the techniques of how they can do that. There's various ways, and there's no one right or wrong way to doing a story. You're right. And then I was going to just mention that the last item in your talk, I might have mentioned this last time, but it's really important to know that if you have an offer or something you want to give, make that sort of your second to last thing that you do, and say, maybe offering a three session special for $297, that works really well. That's normally, say $600 or something, a higher price than that it's half price today. That's available to the first five people that sign up, or first 10 people. and give them a sheet, a sign-up sheet kind of thing, and then they can come to the back of the room with you afterward. But don't make the sales item, your promotional part, the last item of your talk, because you want, it's really important for you to leave them with a story or something that you can, some real good piece of content that they can take home with them, or a quick summary of what you've talked about, or review some content, because that way they remember the first 30 seconds and last 30 seconds of your talk, and it's better to always end with something, a really strong note of something they can take home with them, or it could be a funny kind of thing as well. And then I would invite people to come to the back of the room. If there's a meeting planner there, you know, you can have them tell you, tell the audience, thank you so much for our presenter, and you can meet her or him in the back of the room right now for more to get your questions answered, or for a book signing, or for at the resource table for more information. And so then what you want to do is create a what I call a table rush, or people coming that want to sign up for something that you're doing, even if it's just being on your mailing list or your newsletter list, or giving them a free article or a free ebook that's only available at the back of the room there. You could have an article that's just in the back of the room, and people will come there for that, as well as you could record your talk. Record your talk ahead of time. You know, if you want to practice, that's a great way to create a little simple product. Is just you want to practice it anyway, so why not right before the night before your talk, record it, an audio version, and then just duplicate CDs and have them right there. Or you could put them on your website, a private area, as a download that people pay for. When you give a really good talk, people want to be able to hear that again and have access to that. So they will actually pay for that, $15, $20, $30, whatever you want to charge. People really value that. Or if you have a CD there that you can duplicate CDs, then you can autograph it, and people love to have things that are autographed by you. So that's a great way to have you can develop more products as you go, and really create a really good sales in the back of the room. I've had talks in the past where I've actually made $5,000 to $10,000 in product sales in the back of a room after a talk, and so it's something that can be a source of income for you right there, as well as ongoing clients. So and you want to, if you can put a little product resource order form underneath everybody's chair, so that you can have that there, and they could be filling that out towards the end. Just depends on how you want to do that, and what the meeting planners will allow, kind of thing. Or you could have them in the back of the room. I want to mention following up, getting great testimonials. Sometimes, I've done this before where I've had, if you have time afterward, someone has something really great to say about your presentation. They were really moved by it, and have a video camera there and just say, would you be willing to, I just really love what you said. Would you be willing to just say that with a video, and just point to, if you have your iPhone or something, everybody's phone does video now. You could just do people are so used to that these days, videoing everything, doing a selfie, doing videos, just being able to have them say that in front of the video there, and just getting their permission to use that. That's really a nice way to get a very enthusiastic testimonial, because someone's just heard your talk. You can say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I've just heard Tom's talk, or Alex's talk, or Michelle's, or Stephanie's, or Rob's talk, and all of you, and I just, you know, I think that I was really inspired, and I learned so much. And I just we want to hire, or if it's the meeting planner, they might say we want to have him back again. That kind of thing is a great testimonial to have on your and to put on your website or social media. So that works really well too. So yes, so those are some of the topics. That way, there's so much more that we could talk about with speaking. But I want to give you a chance to ask any questions, too, or thoughts that you have on this. Anyone can jump in if you've got questions or comments.
I'm good.
What's that? I heard somebody faintly in the background.
No, I'm good.
Oh, you're good? Is that Alex?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, people might have finished up by now.
No, it was very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Joanne.
Okay, this is Stephanie?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you could join us. Yeah. I know we have a new person, Denise, too. I don't know if she's able to join us today.
Oh, okay. Where's Denise from?
Denise is from North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. So next time, maybe she can join us too. And for the new people here, is Stephanie and Kat, I don't know if I told you, but you can go to, I can send you a link. We have a Facebook page as well, a private Facebook page. So if you just go on Facebook and then you search on PECI Private Group.
Okay.
PECI Private Group, then it should come up there. And then you just on the right click Join Group. And because it's a private group, I accept each person individually, so I'll see that there, and I'll click on, I'll accept you into the group, because only people that are part of this program can be part of that, the PCI private group, and yeah, that way you can see, I'll put announcements up there too about our next upcoming talk, and if you have questions, you could ask them there too.
Great.
So, yeah, that's a great way to connect as well. So, yeah, thank you so much. Maybe we could just go around and say, what was the most helpful thing for today? Any particular nuggets, something you can take home with you today? What was the most helpful thing that you learned today? Anyone can jump in.
Being a first-timer, I thought really, like, people's practical issues of client buy-in, client motivation, you know, the question about getting your client into the right side of their brain and your, you know, practical response, that was helpful to me. And I will say all your great marketing ideas, like, really got me thinking about, oh, you know, how could this apply in my situation, and, you know, if I am asked to go give a talk, you know, to this group, how could, you know, materials, how could I market? So I thought that was very helpful.
Oh, good. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, we can always be thinking of marketing and thinking of it as education. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to be too pushy or to, but if you can think of it as you have such valuable information to offer and such a great coaching that it's doing a service to people. To it's a disservice to people if you don't market, really, because it's
right.
I think it's something that you people you can really help people in their lives, help change lives for sure. So the more you can get out there, the more you can make a difference for people. What's that?
No, I didn't mean to cut you off, but, you know, when you think to conferences you've attended and where people you felt like that sales pitch and that sales pressure, you know, their books, their buy this and everything, and I think how you do it is very well done. Like, it doesn't feel pushy in a sales pitch, and lots of smart ideas.
Yeah, good. And if you can include some humor too, doing your marketing stuff, that helps loosen people up and make them feel good about you too. Like, I tell people, you know, it's kind of funny. I'll say my book. So yeah, you can. the book is back here too. It's you know, it's got nice, it's short chapters. It's an easy read. It's great bathroom reading. You go in constipated, you come out motivated.
That's good.
Some people start laughing and they feel good about you as a person too. So great. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Oh, Tom, are you still there, or Michelle, or I think Alex, you're good. You said. Definitely.
This is Tom. I'm still here. Dr. Jan. No questions. Sorry, Kat. I think it's Kat, right? No questions from me. Very beneficial. Lots of notes. Very useful information. Actually booked a couple of talks, so I'll be applying all the information you have given me. So thank you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yeah, you said there was a Peak Performance Centers or something you were thinking of speaking at?
I contacted them, and I'm still in discussion with them. The first one I booked was with the Equestrian Center.
Uh-huh.
So that would be with people with anxiety issues approaching large animals, horses, and riding them. Also dealing with the fear, specifically after the accident. So that would be quite aligned with my life coaching skills as well, as I have some experience with anxiety, visualization, and so forth. And the second, just pop on my radar. I have done a few workshops at the local yoga studio, and I just booked a new one dedicated to the sports performance, as a lot of local athletes do yoga. So this is one of the places where they go. So we're just putting one to see if we get an attraction there, and if it works, we'll probably put a few more there.
Great. Wow, that's a fantastic idea. Yeah, that's true. You think of, you know, some people think the only people that go to do yoga are just people, you know, that are not that athletic into meditation, but that's just one group, and there's a lot, as you say, a lot of athletes do yoga as well. So
I'm not sure if this is the unique to my yoga studio, but we have a lot of cyclists. We actually have a few dancers, triathletes, martial artists as well. So it's well attended by athletes as well. So I think we're going to get, my goal is to get about 20, 25 people. So if that works, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be great. Yeah, fantastic. And yoga, people that are into yoga or into, yeah, the mind-body experience, and it's very aligned with what we do.
Yeah, exactly. It's the other workshops I had there were very well attended as well. Specifically for this reason, I realized that it's much easier to explain the concepts of visualizations, visualization and actually positive change to those who already are in the process of working on it. So the yoga crowd is very receptive to it, I found.
Uh-huh. Great. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're into calming the mind and, the right brain kind of thing. So, that's good. If you can give a talk there or do anything. And yoga studios, they already have a physical space, of course, where they're doing yoga. So.
And also they do all the advertising to the members, so another benefit. It's the marketing is done by others, and that's at this moment, this is what I want. I want somebody else to do the advertising, and that's important. It lowers my cost.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. And you could be like on their, you could ask them, you could be a consultant for them or be on their, just... You could give a talk, work your way into their system kind of thing with any organization like that. Start by giving a talk so they get to know you, and then they may ask you to be a referral source for them, which, of course, they athletes can ask about you. And, maybe ask if you could put your cards there and your contact information. Sometimes they have a board there, a bulletin board, and then, of course, that's the old-fashioned way, but if they have a studio, then people are looking around at things, so that's a good place to put maybe your top 10 tips And then if they have a website or some kind of newsletter or something they send out to people, you could add tips to that, weekly or monthly tips. So those are different ideas to have there. And give a talk for cyclists, one for triathletes, and one for injuries, dealing with injuries from those sports, those kinds of things, preparation for races coming up. So all kinds of topics there. You can gradually, get an affiliation with them where you're considered a consultant or that kind of thing. All kinds of ideas there. That's it. Congratulations on working on that, Tom.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and also the Equestrian Center, people with horses are naturally, if you've got a horse, it's an expensive sport, so they're typically a high-income group that can afford your services, and they're willing to pay for any services that will help them. And, most people who are ridden a horse have fallen off their horse. At some point, a lot of people have that anxiety, worry about confidence, and they're inside. They may not admit it at first, but inside their mind is thinking, "Is this going to happen again?" They can tend to ride timidly, so that's a real need area for. And of course, you're working on, every rider knows that. I've worked with a lot of riders myself as well, and we had. Anyone that rides a horse knows that what you're feeling, the horse is feeling, and you're even just slight, small, little emotional changes or signs of nervousness or tension, that goes into your body, and the horse picks up on that, and then the horse can get nervous as well, and so it's a partnership for sure. So that would be good to look at. Have you ridden horses yourself, Tom?
A few times, but nothing too special now, just as an amateur.
Yeah, okay, great. But that's a place where you could use that pre-programmed questionnaire to help find out what their issues are there. So good. Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Tom, and good. Yeah, that's great. You're reaching out to those different places, and to go to their centers where they're actually training, and maybe give a talk either right before or right after one of their training sessions. That's a good time, or sometimes on a Saturday in conjunction. If they have another event where they're having someone else give a talk, a trainer or something, you could give a talk in conjunction with something else that's going on. So it's good to be creative with all that. So good. Okay, well, thank you. Any other questions people have or comments or things that were helpful today?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Michelle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could hear me. Thank you. That was fantastic, and I really appreciate you answering my questions, and you added a lot of clarity today just in terms of just sort of accessing that subconscious brain and the visualization. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for you. Always have great questions, Michelle, and all of you. I always appreciate your questions, and so that makes our calls here really relevant. So great. Okay, well, I look forward to talking with you all. The next call will be, it's always the second, fourth Thursday of the month, so October the 22nd. You can put that on your calendar for Thursday at 9 o'clock Pacific and 12 o'clock Eastern. And in the meantime, I'll send you some of these resources as well, the PPQ pre-program questionnaire for, I sent the one for meeting planners, and I'll send you the one for participants. The other things I mentioned as well. So I'll write those down here for myself here to make sure I get those to you. So sounds great. All right, we'll talk to everyone on October 22nd then. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Dr. Joanne, you too.
Okay. All right. Bye now.